At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Winning season returns at mybookie.ag, and it's time to get in on the action. First-time players can get started by doubling your first deposit, giving you the firepower, ba-boom, to add excitement to the games you love. College football odds boosts, NFL lock of the week season, and over $500,000 in contest prizes live on-site to make winning this season your best ever with MyBookie. With a historic 18-week schedule offering more action than ever before, you need a sportsbook casino that's reliable, and you won't find a better place than MyBookie. I know you're going to bet this season, so do the smart thing and sign up with MyBookie and use our promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first ever deposit matched dollar for dollar. That's extra money credited to your account instantly just for using promo code ZABE and making your first deposit today. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie, and when you win, get paid.
What's next? What's happening? What you gonna do? You got the money you owe us, motherfucker?
We're putting the band back together.
You were the backbone, the nerve center of a great rhythm and blues band. You can make that live, breathe, and jump again.
Well, me and the Lord, we got an understanding. We're on a mission from God.
So what happens now? Is the food free or do we pay someone?
Of course not. They send you a bill.
Are you ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah.
Mick?
Okay.
All right, fellas. Let's go!
We'll do it live.
Nope.
We'll do it live!
Fuck it!
They came to work every day, and there were no days off.
The show goes on!
Amen to that. Sally, you got to wear your headphones? Put the headphones on there, buddy. You can hear everything.
There we go.
Yeah, and then that way you can tell if you're up close enough on the mic there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You switch this.
Like, Andy, what do you think of the new setup? Yeah, I did.
I think your setup is great.
You like the new setup? I'm not sure about it. I think my guests, which you guys are, would be more comfortable like this.
Mm-hmm.
Is it more comfortable broadcasting this way? With a mic you can get up on and get away. Get up on, get away. Better mics, it's fine.
It was comfortable before.
Okay.
Either way.
You know me, good enough.
Good enough, Andy. Exactly.
Yeah. Andy's had no mic and no headset, still done a show.
All right, we come here not to bury Sally, but to praise him.
He finally
flipped the bird to the boss and said, "That's it! I'm out!" After how many years at 980, you tendered your resignation?
20 long, beautiful years, Abe.
20 even?
I started
close.
It'd be 20 at the station, yeah, pretty much.
All right.
How about when you
are
had
you
long
out?
Hair?
Yeah, when I had long
yeah.
hair.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, I wish I had photos of that, by the way. early Solly days. So
photos of you with hair, too.
I know. So, first of all, are you 2 weeks now still, or are you out?
This Friday is my last day, the 22nd.
Oh, okay.
I gave notice, you know, at the beginning of this past week, so we agreed to work till then. You know, whatever. I don't want to bury my future there. I don't know. I'm out today. Fuck you, you know? No.
So you want to leave the door open? You think they might come to you and say, holy shit, we can't let this guy leave. This guy is rock solid.
Well, they had that chance the last year.
He's not burning a bridge.
I don't. Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant to say. Burning. Yeah. I don't want to burn any bridges. Yeah. The bridges are all still tiptoe overable, hopefully anywhere in this town for me. I don't think I've burned any bridges.
All right, so I'm going to start hot today because I saw this tweet. You put out there, big news, I'm leaving the Team 980 and Odyssey, 20-plus great years. I wasn't fired is my decision. Many factors, but life's too short to sit in traffic 2 hours a day for minimum wage. Can hear me every morning on my podcast. I'd love your support. Patreon.com, Steve Solomon Podcast. Please do support it. So Gavin Bishop at Super Olympic, whose account he opened it, whoever this troll is.
Uh-oh, what did he write?
Well, he opened it in February of this year. Zero followers.
Is that you?
No, it's not me. But he writes, minimum effing wage? Did at Zabe stick up for you?
Oh, I saw this.
Or was he too busy familiarizing himself with Wisconsin sports so he could pass as a cheesehead sports talk host? You got jobbed, man. Same thing he did to at Andy Poland one.
Wow.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what happened.
I know. Zabe got us both out, Andy.
Yeah,
it took him long
he
enough.
He got what he wanted, boy. Stabbed us both in the back.
Hey, no, that wasn't. I wrote him back.
Hey, Gavin Bishop, if that's your real name, you fucking coward with zero followers, joined Egg Avatar. You joined in February, you fucking troll. You're an industry guy. I know this.
I remember
you're a guy
avatar.
In the fucking industry who's a coward. So show your face. Do I go down to the street corner where you suck cock for a living and start weighing in on the economics of your job? No, I don't, because I don't know what you get per sucked cock. You don't know how our industry works.
Now, there's good money in that if you do it right. But
he doesn't have the first fucking idea how it works.
I think I wrote him back. I wrote 100 people back the last 3 days. It's been very nice, but... you know, to know that people give a damn about me is always nice. But, yeah, I wrote him back saying what I thought most people know, that Zabe never controlled my salary. And both of you, you know, went to bat for me numerous times, I'm sure, over the years. Whoever said, hey, let's fire Sally. He's an idiot.
I went to bat for you many times. I grounded out every
right.
time.
Another pop-up from Zabe.
Tapped out weekly to the pitcher.
Right. So you never were able to get me more or less money, and it just didn't work that way. It's just, you know, not to say you're not an all-powerful radio god. But,
and did I do you in?
Oh, yeah. Stabbed me right in the back. right between the shoulder blades.
He's like, I want Cooley and Galdi. Get this old for cocktail yeah, Andy out of here. Okay, bus. Absolutely.
Each time with Andy, the first time when it was Cooley, I felt sick about it. Not that I didn't like Cooley or Galdi, but I knew they were breaking up a good thing.
No shit.
And the guy that insisted that Cooley do afternoon drive, Bruce Allen.
That's right.
What a shock.
Bruce Allen and his accomplice, who was a genius and basically burned the station down with the man cave.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah,
same guy.
Yeah. So that was the first time. And then the second time, it literally made me sick. It was a Thursday night, I want to say.
Yeah, 2017.
I was having trouble getting in touch with the program director for a couple of weeks. So there was, you know, and then the people who were involved with the football team were evasive and not answering calls.
Right.
And so there he was waiting for me outside the studio as soon as the show ended.
Show ended, yeah. Boom, and that was it.
And we went in to see the CFO. And, you know, separation agreement was all set up.
You went to go see Cheap Ford? Good old Chipper?
Chipper Ford, yep.
Chip Ford, known as Cheap Ford? Yeah. Exactly.
Andy's, then, you know, tough business around here in radio, so I'm going to have to let you go.
That was Chip. Yeah. That was him right there.
But they gave you some big cash to leave, Andy. Nah. Yes, sir.
Well, but I saw... You know, I saw it coming because we were doing our thing at these are the kind of things I would do for the station. Rather than charge them for gas money, I would take a station vehicle out to Ashburn so we could do our shows out there. And when I was bringing it back late at night, I saw Chip Ford there crunching numbers, and I knew, okay, I know what he's working
right,
on.
Right, exactly. Yeah. He's not working on the latest income from some deal with Green Turtle.
Yeah. What can we use Andy's money for now?
Oh, my God.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, so really, they wouldn't make you full-time at 980 since they bought the station, and you were having to drive an hour plus each way because the station is hard to get to in D.C.
I mean, that was probably the bigger issue with me. I mean, the money is the money. You know, I never got in this for the money. I knew pretty much, I realized when I was in my late 20s, early 30s, that I wasn't going to get rich in radio. But it was always enough, you know. It was enough at 980, enough at Fox, enough at Sporting News, wherever. It was enough to make me come in there every day. You know?
Well, yeah.
It was always enough to keep me able to pay my bills and live, you know.
Right.
But it wasn't here. They wouldn't. They're
you were literally hourly.
I mean,
hourly.
Yeah,
and you had to pay for your own parking down there.
I mean, parking
which
gas
cost how much?
It's $18 a day, and if you get a monthly pass, it's $260.
$18 a day.
It's $260 a month. So like, $3,000 a year for parking gas.
And what's the hourly?
$18 a day. There is no hourly. It's just $18.
No, no. What was your hourly rate?
Yeah, $15 an hour.
Oh God.
It's crazy. Yeah. Like, I saw your situation, and I said, well, they better make you full-time and give you a decent salary.
Right.
$35,000, $40,000, $45,000
yeah,
a year.
That's pretty much what I made since I was, you know, I'm not telling you. I made, like, $35,000, $40,000 a year my whole life, and that's fine. $45,000.
And they're not even paying that right now, and they're going to get some guy to come in there who's happy for the hourly wage.
Well,
and
they're not going to replace me. They're just going to put Vic Ferreira, who's there. He does all the Nats games. So in the offseason, he fills all the other slots. So they're going to use him to do the show, I think, until Nats season and then figure it out. So it wasn't really the money per se. It was just the fact that literally more than half of my take-home salary was going towards parking gas and putting, you know, 300 miles a week on my car. I'm like, you know, I start to think about it. I'm like, you know, I don't make money at the job.
I know.
I think I made
it's nuts.
I probably took home $8,000 in the last year from this job. So
not worth it.
It's not.
I'm happy. You're way too smart.
Well,
you work way. Yes, you are. You've always been too smart. I thought
that smart. If I was that smart, I'd be rich. But you know, I had numerous conversations with our boss CK about this, and they seemed to go nowhere. And it, you know, I wanted to stay. I didn't want to leave. As much as I grappled with this decision for a year, really. I mean, since you left, I thought about leaving that day too. Like when they told me, "Yeah, Zave's not coming back," December 20th or whatever. I'm like, well, I should probably go too.
And they wanted me back. I never even let my agent Andy get into an offer because I didn't want to be on AM radio anymore.
Yeah,
I didn't want. I couldn't. I was like, 20 years for a dying format. AM radio. I can't do it anymore. When they said we're not going to move you to the FM, I said
that's what I thought was going to happen because it was the timing worked out so well that they didn't plan on Chad Dukes getting fired that way in a spectacular manner.
The flame out of epic proportions.
And I was like, wow, because the buying of 980 was in the works like months and months ago. I found out that I just never
prior to
back.
Dukes getting fired.
Yeah, it's from like in summer, like June, July. It was already in the works of trading the stations from Charlotte for this station. So then, with that, they would have had a different idea of their lineup. But Dukes was then fired in September. The final buying of the station went through in October. So they had a lot of influx there into while buying the station. So I assumed, and you might have too, that they'd put you and Scott and me on.
I did not assume.
Not assume.
I hoped.
I had hoped.
I would have thought, man, you've got a proven product with a loyal following, with clients that already buy in.
Right.
And he's nodding his head right now. Wouldn't that be easy to do?
Maybe that's why I never got into management in radio, because it seems too easy to do.
But the control of the company existed outside of D.C., and the local managers only had so much sway.
That's what I found out, too.
Right, exactly. Odyssey is a Philly, New York-oriented company, especially New York, because it's the former CBS Sports Radio.
Right.
And those managers are like, who the fuck is Andy Pollin? Who's the fuck Zabin? You know, I don't know these guys.
Scott Line. Never heard that name before.
Scott Line,
well,
exactly.
Also, there was you know, no consistency. Cooley did, 2 years with you guys?
Two and a half, yeah.
Two and a half, and then
all these changes.
And then we came back, and they gave us 7 months, and, ask
everybody.
Yeah.
That's what I never understood, because I always thought radio was about consistency and knowing people and getting into a routine.
Yes. Consistency, and chemistry.
And you can't just switch stuff around and think people will start listening. Because, I mean, I still get emails, calls, you know, hey, I miss you and Zabe and Andy, or I miss Scott and you and Gald. I'm like, no shit. We all do.
Harden and Weaver were on for like 40 years. The last 15, they gave like the Metro Times and let's play a march from John Susan. But they over 25 years, they had built up such a loyal audience. It didn't matter what they did. And people and radio done it. Nope. And they got to put their own stamp on it. See, people who are in management, they don't want to just say, well, this is good and I've taken it over. I'm just riding. No. They want to create their own.
Yeah, this is my guy.
Yeah, I groomed him.
I was not their guy. I knew that. I realized that. I was an outsider.
Look, these guys are really, they do know sports very well. They have.
Odyssey?
Yeah. The two guys are in the afternoon now. They know sports.
Who?
Grant and Danny.
Oh, I thought you meant Pete and Russell.
Well, they may know sports, too. I don't listen to either station, to be honest. Fine. It's not because I dislike them. My lifestyle is just not.
Sure. Neither did I.
Yeah. So they put on two guys who know sports, and they were created by the program director who put them in that spot. So that's the way that works.
Yeah, that's the way it works. Well, anyway, you are launching yourself into a target-rich hiring environment, Solly, if you want to work. You know that. Not in radio, unfortunately.
Oh.
But in terms of overall jobs, do you know how many places are like, we need people?
Oh, I'm sure. I should be a nurse, I guess. You know, make $120 an hour.
I don't think you have the bedside manner, to be honest. I think you're too harsh.
I don't want to do anything else. And actually, I've had a couple people reach out to me from the radio world, which is kind of neat. But I don't know if I want to do anything else.
Well, you've got multiple podcasts.
I do.
And those are, you know, whatever. But
they're
you
not
could,
that profitable. But no, they're but
you
enough.
Could you I could mean, build on that. Like the transition to the digital world and the transition to podcast. Do you know how horny these radio companies are for podcasts?
That seems all that Odyssey was interested.
That's
in.
That's what ESPN is moving towards.
Them too. It's
exactly.
Although they got rid of Katie Nolan, but still.
Well, it's fine.
Paying $1 million for her
to do podcasts.
Unbelievable.
It seems that. I mean, you know the podcast world now, Andy, you do too, and there's just limited amounts of stuff people will listen to, and it seems that, I mean, Odyssey bought three different podcast networks in the last year and paid millions of dollars for them, and I'm like, well, when I think about it, I'm like, what are they getting here? Just more product and more ways to distribute? They already have a tremendous amount of product in-house. You know, there's
too much product.
In sports talk, every show they have is now a podcast or a showcast, as you would call it. So I'm like, how are they making money on this? And I don't think they are.
Oh, I think there's a land rush right now.
It's like in the sports betting talk world. They're heavily leveraged in that, too.
Yes, the gambling podcast realm. I was approached by somebody to do a weekly sports gambling podcast. Mm-hmm. And they were like, I don't want to say they're throwing the money at me, but it was sort of like, what will it take?
Wow.
And I was just like, I don't know if I can fit it into my schedule of stuff I do. And I don't know what the long-term upside is.
Exactly.
And I don't know if it's something I want to do per se, you know? I
mean, even though sports betting is boomed and is huge, I don't think people. Like, I love our friends Tim Murray and Ross and Oster out there at VSiN. I don't know if people love listening to a show just about betting, because I've listened to stuff like that. The show After Us is just about. It's a tough listen if you don't really are into it. And, you know, we love sports, and I like sports gambling a little. I don't want to hear only talk about
it. You don't want to hear, the Steelers -5. I mean, look, they got Geno Smith they're going against. Hadn't started in 4 years. I don't know. That line seems a little rich for me. A little worried. Juju just got his shoulder surgery.
Maybe the audience doesn't have to be that big.
These things are receptacles, Andy, for gambling money.
Right.
For the FanDuels.
Exactly.
Look, the DraftKings, et cetera.
People I know used to work for these 900 numbers back in the day, long before podcasts and the internet and the whole thing.
Uncle Andy, what's a 900 number?
And I'd call up and
gambling or sex. That's what you could call for. So.
And you'd pay by the minute, whatever it was. It was $3 or $4 a minute.
Knockout information.
And all the gamblers wanted to do was to have somebody listen to them. Right. That's what it was. So people, and you know some of these people too, that they would sit on the phone and talk to these people. Yeah, that sounds like good. -5. Yeah, that might be a good bet. Yeah, -8. Yeah, sure. Why not? The quarterback's been hurt. You know, all those things. And so now this replaces that. And so maybe you don't have to have a massive audience to make it work.
Well, I always thought Sheehan had it good, doing about 10 minutes a week on just gambling talk with his smell test. I'm like, that's enough.
Scott Van Pelt has done this with bad beats. Right, and those
are fun, and they kind of make it into something that even people who aren't gambling, you know, strong people care about. But it just doesn't seem to be something that is something people want to listen to. Yeah. I don't know anyone who's like, oh, no, I don't like regular sports. Like,
gambling talk. Gambling talk. All
that's,
the time.
That's it, gambling.
No, the best radio is when you listen to somebody who engages you and you either laugh or think or makes you mad or a little bit of all the above, and somebody who does something or a tandem or a show that gives you a memorable moment. You're like, yes, that was funny as shit. I want to come back the next day. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of that.
Course.
Boys together, a lot of that stuff, a lot of that good organic stuff. But the old days of build an audience, get an audience, build an audience, monetize an audience, those days exist, but it's narrower and narrower. Yeah. It's not a lot of those.
Well, you have to be an established show. Like the Junkies have been on for 25 years.
Right.
And they've built up certain clients. They've built up an audience.
Yeah.
And so they don't mess with
that. So do the sports reporters. But look what happened there.
But other people come in and they make decisions. And the people who made those decisions were not radio people, Bruce Allen. So, you know, that's...
Well, Danny ruined us. Danny bought us and then ruined us.
Which he's,
period,
know,
amen. That's what he does.
Track record for
exactly. Which brings us to the Sean Taylor topic of the week. I got an email, let me find it here, from a guy who was very upset that I said on Saturday morning on JFK, I said, anyone who's bellyaching about, if I had known more than 3 days earlier, I wouldn't have sold my tickets. How dare the team do us this way? I said, spare me.
Go buy tickets.
I said, A, you sold your tickets, good for you, probably for face value or more. And B, you can go buy better tickets for cheaper now if you really want to see a 10-minute fucking ceremony about a player who's been dead for 14 years. Am I yelling? I'm yelling now, aren't I? The amount of energy and teeth gnashing and hand-wringing and pearl-clutching over Sean Taylor's ceremony. There have been ceremonies and commemorations and videos and tributes and everything else over the years. Move on. That this is the biggest story for a team that is what? 2-3, still in the mix, has a chance to put a feather in their cap by beating a struggling Chiefs team. This, Andy, is the dysfunction of our day.
Well, I don't have sympathy for people like that, but the lack of transparency for an organization that claims it now has it, with you've got the trainer who's on administrative leave for an ongoing criminal investigation by the DEA, the assistant trainer who's also on administrative leave. You've had the emails that have been linked to Bruce Allen that led to the firing of John Gruden. And so you got all this going on. And then on Thursday morning at 9:30, they go, oh, yeah, we're going to retire Sean Taylor's number this weekend. And it's only the third number that they've retired in the history of the organization. The first one was Sammy Baugh, who was named the greatest NFL player of the first half of the 20th century. Okay. That was definitely worthwhile. Then after disgracefully giving out Bobby Mitchell's number to a backup tight end
49
when Steve Spurrier was the coach, and Bobby Mitchell saying that was the final straw when he left the organization. Then when the Black Lives Matter movement starts, they go, oh yeah, we got to retire Bobby Mitchell's number.
And Bobby had died earlier.
Bobby had died, earlier that year. And so now, with all this going on, this is a misdirection play that they run on Thursday morning, and I'm very disappointed in the president of the team, who I like.
Well, wait a minute. Didn't he own up to it as much as he can? See, you don't know who's making the decisions out there.
This was Dan.
I don't either.
Right?
Okay, but
Dan's.
But I don't believe him when he says, now he said we screwed up, and that's admirable to say that. He also said that we didn't know that the fans wanted to come out and see the ceremony. Come on. Are you kidding me?
Well, what's going to happen to the ceremony?
Well,
there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, but if
remember the great James Sean Taylor, and they're going to show a video, and then what?
Playing James Taylor.
Fine, but if you're the team that's last in the league in attendance, and you have the three preseason games to flog season ticket sales or individual ticket sales, which they do, don't you say, oh, and by the way, when the Kansas City Chiefs come, the two-time AFC defending champions, we're going to honor Sean Taylor by retiring his number.
They should have given more advance notice.
Well, this is the alumni weekend, too,
yeah.
and Duck and Tony McGee and every other Mitchell, alum ever is there. I don't know about Darnarian McCants, but I don't know.
Oh, he's invited.
That was one of our great arguments.
He's invited.
See, that's okay. For those that don't know, that was another great episode in our show back in the day, is that Andy believes if you played for the team, you're welcome to come back.
Yeah.
I say if you were a 10-cent shitbag who didn't matter, you don't get an invite. And that's what Darnarian McCants was, a nobody, a zilch.
Right. Darkarian McCants.
Darkarian. And then I said, what about Stubby or Hainsworth? And you said...
Okay.
If Stubby's in prison for rape.
Yes, Stubby's
right?
in prison
Stubby's
for rape.
Stubby's in prison for rape.
And Hainsworth, I think, is looking for a new kidney or got a new kidney.
Right.
But if they want to show up... And if I'm in the stands and I've been there for Alumni Day, I stand up and boo. Yes, I do.
But you would bring those guys back.
They should be invited.
I think about 100 alumni.
That is so literal.
We'll be there.
Okay.
So who's the worst guy to come through the
Hainsworth,
organization?
Hainsworth.
Okay. Retired. You're out of Hainsworth. You're matching the Hainsworth button. What about Dion?
Like in Breaking Bad, the guy with the button.
Ding, 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 ding. Didn't blow everything up.
Dion was a buyer beware situation.
Okay.
Yeah. But let me ask you this. You're in your high school. Some guy comes in the second half of the second semester of your senior year because his dad is in the military and got transferred there. And that's where he needs to finish high school. And you have a reunion 20 years later. You're not going to invite him because you say you're only there for 3 months?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that sucks.
Invitations are that for a reason. Invitation.
Well, high school reunion, everyone's invited.
If you're an alum, you're an alum.
Well, but to me, do you invite everybody to a family outing?
Depends. What do you mean? For what level?
For a family get-together.
Family get-together. Immediate family? My brothers, my sisters?
That's my point. There's immediate family. There's extended family.
But that's not extended
family.
There
is in-law family.
If you wore a Washington uniform for one game, you're an alum.
We're back down the rabbit hole in this. You're a literalist on this, which, okay, I respect that stance. I just disagree with it. But anyway, so Mark Lewandowski says... Come on, man. Is Snyder depositing money for you in an offshore account to defend his incompetence?
I wish.
Feel free to run back the tape this morning on the show, but I think I heard you tell Woof fans to stop whining about the team announcing Sean Taylor Day at the last minute. Yeah, I did say that. I said half the people are like, I have to work Sunday. Fuck you. Nobody's working in this country right now. Nobody.
I mean, I was more.
Working Sunday. Get the day off, for God's sake.
If you want to go, you can go. I mean, basically, the swerve that the team thought would be good PR, of course, completely backfired as the worst PR possible. How someone there is telling Dan, oh, yeah, there's some backlash because people think we really just threw this together in the last minute to make us stop thinking about the trainers or the emails or Bruce Allen. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. that's got to be the conversation that Jason Wright or whoever his yes men are now. I don't know if Jason Wright's a yes man to Dan. He must still have several around him. That's how it works. But
anyway, Lewandowski says, what do you expect the fans to do? We've been done wrong for 30 years. I know. The owner stinks. I know. The team stinks. Aware. The stadium stinks. Oh, yeah. Concessions are marked up prison food. I know. Traffic used to stink. The organization as a whole is an embarrassment, and they may have outdone themselves this past week. They finally give the fans a reason to go to a game, and they blow it. No. You go to the game.
Because it's the Chiefs.
Because it's the fucking Chiefs and Mahomes, and you're still a fan. I said... This is what I said on the air, Andy. I said, you have willingly entered into an abusive relationship. Prepare to be abused.
He beats me, but I love him.
Yes.
I can't stay away.
If you still want to be a fan, when he says, what do you expect the fans to do? Shut up and be a fan. Shut up and go and deal with it. Or leave the team as a fan. Quit. People are doing that left and right. They're going, I'm fucking out, because not only do I not have time to wait for them to magically get good by some fluke, I don't want to see that asshole Snyder ever benefit from being good. Am I yelling? I'm yelling.
Well, old Gavin Newsom or whoever's like, oh, see, Zabes quit years ago. He's going for the Packers now. What does he care? He doesn't like his team anymore. Go back to Milwaukee,
It is so hard to be a fan right now because these feel like end days. For this franchise.
Well, and Ron Rivera was asked about the black cloud a couple of weeks ago, And he said, yeah, we try to outrun it, but we don't seem to be able to do that. It wasn't exactly in those words, but
right.
That was, you know, things keep popping up. And so this is, yeah, this is another thing. And again, if you're going to honor Sean Taylor, and Sean Taylor is an emotional hot button for every fan.
I understand that.
You have a definite feel about that. It was a terrible tragedy the way he died. And so if you want to use this to honor him, don't you give your fans more than 4 days' notice?
Yeah, ideally.
Yeah, ideally. Well, why couldn't you?
They
were going to announce Monday. It was going to be and by the way, something else. It's like Steve Jobs at the Apple thing saying, oh, wait, one more thing.
Like the Ginsu knife.
And then he brings
wait,
that,
there's more.
Yeah, and then he brings out the most wow-dropping thing.
Yeah.
There, I can understand the element of surprise they wanted to introduce, which was and while we're doing all this homecoming stuff, guess what? We're also going to retire Sean Taylor's jersey.
But don't you think somewhere like Art Monk or Daryl Green are like,
yeah. Well, then you get into that. Yes. Is he the next jersey number to be retired?
The Travolta meme.
That's
yes.
what I was thinking of.
Right, Travolta.
What about me?
What about me?
But well, look, you can make the case because of the way he died that it is the next jersey that you retire. But they've also used this jersey for various things.
Fred Smoot. Fred was before.
Fred came back and Taylor was here and had 21, so he took 27.
Yeah, I switched to 36, Dave. Don't matter. I took it.
Come on now. You know that. Jon Snow in the South would never do that to my boys, Fred John Smith.
But no, the players that have come in here that have wanted to wear 21, and there's always this big song and dance, you know, is he going to be good enough to wear 21? I'm amazed at this generation of football players because he hadn't played in 14 years,
yeah.
Which means that most of these guys who come here want to wear 21 or wear 20 or wore 21 somewhere else. Yeah. They saw it on YouTube videos.
Well, it's like the Janis Joplin or Jim Morrison thing. You could have
Tupac.
Lived till 70 and been okay. Sean Taylor could have played and maybe been the greatest ever and maybe been a pretty good player. But when you die young, there's Nirvana, Kurt Cobain, all music. It's happened to musicians a lot because they're drug users.
His youth enabled him to ascend to martyr status.
Right.
And the way that he died. Had he died, say, drunk driving, going into a tree, would have been different. This was a tragic and, oh, my God, I can't believe this happened. He was alone with his girlfriend at his house in Florida, and some punks knew that he had money there, and he didn't have a gun, but he had a machete.
Mm-hmm.
And a machete versus a gun in the middle of the night, guess who won?
Right.
So anyway, well, I just think the pearl clutching is a bit much. If you're a fan, Mark Lewandowski, be a fan, which means suck it up, go to the games, root for the team, and guess what? You're going to get abused. But don't ask me to carry your water for you. My God, enough hosts on 106.7 talked about this all week long, starting on Wednesday.
It's a great radio topic.
It was a buffalo, I'll grant you that. It fed the tribe for a long time.
That's right. Yeah.
But, I mean, it was a bit much, if you ask me.
Don't turn it away. I felt like asking.
I felt like asking, there's a game this Sunday, right?
Yeah, but this is classic sports radio.
I guess so.
I think Urban Meyer sent Dan an email. Can you retire Sean Taylor's number? Really get the pressure off me. The Bruce thing was good with the emails, but now no one's talking about me. It's great.
Winning season returns at mybookie.ag, and it's time to get in on the action. First-time players can get started by doubling your first deposit, giving you the firepower, pa-boom, to add excitement to the games you love. College football odds boosts, NFL lock of the week season, and over $500,000 in contest prizes live on-site to make winning this season your best ever with MyBookie. With a historic 18-week schedule offering more action than ever before, you need a sportsbook casino that's reliable, and you won't find a better place than MyBookie. I know you're going to bet this season, so do the smart thing and sign up with MyBookie and use our promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first ever deposit matched dollar for dollar. That's extra money credited to your account instantly just for using promo code ZABE and making your first deposit today. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie, and when you win, get paid. You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match
with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
All right, let's move on, shall we?
Let's move on.
Adam Schefter, Andy.
Oh, yeah.
I ask you for your thoughts on Adam Schefter, who admitted probably shouldn't have said what he said to good old Bruce Allen.
In an email where he called him Mr. Editor. Yeah. I've seen, and I'm not a journalist. I was very briefly a journalist. I don't consider myself.
When were you? Briefly a journalist.
UPI.
Yes. Yeah. United Press International.
Press International.
And Andy Poland, press. He had the little really button.
Did he have a hat with a little thing in it?
I really wasn't breaking stories.
What did you cover?
Well, I covered a lot of big events like Super Bowls and Final Fours and things like that. But I wasn't, you know, getting sources.
Did you have a cigar in your mouth and a visor? As the clouds rain here, as this reporter stands, I type on this typewriter with heavy heart.
One could feel the ghost of Red Grange permeating today's festivities at the Cotton Bowl. So why did you consider yourself a journalist at UPI?
Because I wasn't offering opinions.
Because he was writing facts. Writing news.
Yeah, you know, I was doing sportscasts and covering events and things
so
like
that. So in today's world, is that your delineation line? Is that your red line of if you're over here, if you're not offering opinions, you're a journalist?
Well, but also if you're covering news, you know, if you're going to press conferences and
what about a game?
Games,
okay,
things like that. But if you sit behind a microphone and you rarely go to games, like I don't, I just read a lot, I watch a lot of stuff on TV, but I don't have any sources that I've developed. I haven't done any gumshoe reporting, you know, any of that stuff. So.
Is Schefter a journalist?
That's a good question. That's come up, too.
Because you know what? He does not offer opinion. He's very careful to not offer opinion. His podcast also does not offer opinion. It's very factually based.
Right. But
he doesn't say, I think they should extend so-and-so's
contract.
But he's
on ESPN, which is the opinion capital of the sports world.
Oh, yeah.
So he's,
they call him an insider, is what he is. So schmoozing Bruce Allen, who has clearly lied about not being a source for anything.
Oh, God.
So in order to cultivate this source and continue to have it, he schmoozes him and he calls him Mr. Editor, and it probably worked.
And he's probably sent the same email to half the league's general managers and presidents.
Couldn't you argue that this is what you want Adam Schefter doing, is getting inside and getting this kind of dirt and the leaks and the details?
Yeah.
That's what he's supposed to do.
I don't find it as egregious as some.
I know. I'm sure journalists. How dare he? He's a Northwestern guy. He went to journalism school.
Michigan.
Do you think he's losing any sleep over it in his multi-million-dollar Connecticut home?
Don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
Probably not. How about the fact that the AP came out with a story Friday that says, oh, according to somebody inside the NFL, no one else has any problematic emails.
650,000, one.
Right. The scoreboard was 649,994 fine, six bad emails. Yep. And they all belong to John Gruden.
Yep.
It's a miracle.
Here's Bruce Allen asking for more ink in his printer. Okay. Here's Andy Poland emailing.
What they pay Roger Goodell $44 million to do. Circle circle the wagons and protect the owners.
Now, do you think this is the end of it?
That's good questions.
That's the ultimate question.
Because there's revenge out there, and somebody's got something. And I thought Tom Lavero laid this out pretty well in his column, that John Gruden might have been collateral damage for Dan Snyder wanting to get back at Bruce Allen. And it's Snyder who leaked these emails to try to make Allen look bad because of Allen contesting his severance and having to go to court and pay out.
How funny is that? And the fact that Bruce Allen was Dan's best bud, his drinking cohort, his number one guy for 10 years. And then soon as he's no longer useful, gone, out the window.
When's the last time you think he talked to Vinny Serrato?
Oh, shit. Forever ago.
2008, when he booted him out, right?
Disposable non-friends. Right. Unbelievable.
Well, yeah. all of the ones he had, all his people are... I mean, I thought he and Shar were close.
Yeah, right.
He was there at the
Dwight
games.
Dwight Shar,
yeah. Yeah.
And
of NV Holmes.
Shar was the one who helped him deliver Joe Gibbs.
Right.
That saved his butt.
Joe Gibbs not in attendance today.
Yeah, because he's a friend of Dwight Shar.
I'm watching left turns right now. No, Andy, Steve, and Andy. No, wait, I'm doing my Spurrier right now. Got to do my Joe Gibbs giggle. Yeah. No, he's watching like four of his drivers left turns in the playoffs.
So, yeah.
He's going to fly in to stand there and look solemn and go, yeah, Sean Taylor, yes, okay.
So who's Snyder's right-hand yes man now? Is it Bateman, our old boss? He's
don't
there.
Know.
He's the.
No,
he's
I don't.
The,
what does he do?
No, Bateman's a consultant.
I thought he's the chief marketing
Bateman's
officer.
Retired. Bateman retired, and they're like, "Could you come out of retirement?"
Yeah, they brought
him
back.
A fucking mess
to be their marketing.
They brought him back, but then when they brought in Wright, I thought he was taking over that job.
I mean, he's team president.
No, Wright is team president.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. What does that mean,
Andy? Your theory is that Jason Wright ejects after this year. Once the name gets announced, the new logo, he's like, my work is done.
Well, like everyone who comes in here, they come for the money, they realize it's a shit situation, and they leave.
I don't know if he came for the money. I think Jason Wright, and I could be wrong about this, but I think he looked at this like many people have looked at Dan Snyder, including Mike Shanahan, and they said, well, I understand there are some problems, but I can handle it. And this is what we're seeing Rivera go through right now. And nobody walks. It is the biggest reverse car wash in sports. You walk in clean, you go out dirty.
People come in and they get swallowed by the beast. They get swallowed whole like Jonah and the whale.
Who's come out of this retired and said, yep, it was a good run? Sonny Jurgensen was already there, so he retired with his head up. Right. Who else? Anybody else leave and it looks, pristine?
I don't know.
Well, everyone else is forced out. They fired everybody, you know? Doc and Cooley and Larry and everyone who was on the radio or anything.
I want to change gears to this. L.A. County is asking a court to force Vanessa Bryant to take a psychiatric exam because Bryant and her attorneys are claiming psychological harm from the fact that a couple of officers shared photos of the crash scene privately, not even on the internet, but privately with other people at a bar before being reprimanded. The county, which has to pay money if they're found to be guilty for this, is like, I think she was more upset that her husband and these family members died. Would you go as far, if you're LA County, to ask for this and take the bad PR? I understand where the county is coming from.
What does she want, money?
Yes.
How much?
Lots.
Really?
Yeah, lots from the county. And the county's like, hey, we reprimanded our officers for doing that. It was wrong. We can't control that. You say that you were psychologically damaged. Yeah, you were. Your husband died. Your international
icon. Your daughter died.
Your daughter died. Your family, your friends died.
I don't know. This is just so sad and icky.
It's sad and icky.
I didn't know she sued.
That's interesting. Yeah, it's just awful.
Yeah, there you go. What else do we got here? Let's see. Did you see the golf ball that was thrown at Lane Kiffin?
Well,
as Tennessee fans interrupted the game against Ole Miss, throwing beer bottles, other detritus, including a golf ball that almost hit Lane Kiffin.
Wow. This is terrible. And this is not just at Tennessee. Do you know that the Pitt game that was played at Virginia Tech last night?
Sally's laughing because somebody put the picture of Costanza with the golf ball at the diner.
That's
the
funny.
Golf ball that lodged in the blowhole.
Whale's blowhole. Kramer's hitting them in the ocean. Oh, that's way out there, Jerry.
He saved a whale. He took a golf ball out of the blowhole. Yeah. So there's Lane Kiffin. So anyway, go ahead, Andy.
Virginia Tech, they limited the students come in there because of what happened at the Notre Dame game. What is going on?
What happened?
Here? There was, I don't know, some unruliness, a lot of things that I didn't read all the details, but they limited the number of students and they were checking people for various items that they were bringing in. It's, I mean, there's a general unruliness that seems to have happened in sports as people have come out of the pandemic. What, you know, what do we have with the Wizards last year where
the water bottle
was thrown on Russell Westbrook. What's going on?
With, you know what? Being locked down and told to stay home has desocialized us.
I guess.
Desocialized us by just a click. Hopefully we can click it back, but it's not the way anyone should live. Yeah, don't throw that water bottle at me.
Okay.
So, yeah, I love the one tweet was Tennessee putting garbage out on the field on brand. It was like Tennessee football putting garbage out on the field, very on brand.
They've not been good since like the Philip Fulmer years.
Well, and Lane Kiffin, when he was he did fire up the fans a number of times there. So there's no love lost between Kiffin and the fan base.
Yeah, you watch any baseball?
Some,
a little bit.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this: the pitcher's name escapes me now, but the 15-minute warm up yesterday was ridiculous.
We got a 15-minute warm-up.
Oh, after the Astros guy, Garcia went out.
Yeah, so, Garcia went out with some type of an injury.
After a grand slam.
Well, no, but he came back the following inning. Walked the leadoff batter, so he leaves, and the way the rules allow, the pitcher who comes in can take as much time as he needs to warm up. So the pitcher that they bring in is...
What do you mean as much time?
Yeah, I'm telling you. Because if
Jake Odorizzi.
Odorizzi, right.
Yes.
So Odorizzi comes in the game, and because he's a starter, not a reliever, who's used to, you know, popping up in the pen and throwing a bunch of pitches and getting ready to go, he's got a whole routine to get ready for a start. And he not only does it, it takes his time.
He doesn't
do it in the bullpen. He does it out on the field. So to rub everybody's noses in it.
Oh.
And so he's out there for like, I don't know if they timed it. Passan says 13 minutes.
The Miguel Angel Jimenez stretches.
It seemed 20 minutes. And you could tell that Joe Buck was pissed about this too. And he's like, well, you're not going to believe this, but yeah, he's going to take as much time as he needs. So Odorizzi is out there just, you know, throwing pitches back and forth and back and forth. And then at one point he says, I think I need three more. And so
three more.
So there's no rule where the umpire's like, let's go kind of thing?
No, because it's an injury.
Interesting.
He's allowed to come in and take as much time.
This is the sport that forced less mound visits. And they want they want a pitch clock.
Minimum three batters because we got to speed the game up. And they allowed this nonsense in a playoff game. Why don't they make it incumbent upon the manager to get a guy in who's ready? And don't go to somebody who's cold.
Because the baseball rule book, which was written at a time when games used to take 2 hours to play, that's in there. That is
take
allowed.
Take that shit out, though.
Among other things. I mean, the games...
15 minutes. So he could... In fact, Jeff Passan said, I know there was a long delay. Odorizzi is a starting pitcher who had not begun stretching and is being asked to throw in a playoff game. Forgive him for cramming a typically long routine into 13 minutes.
Fine.
Forgive him. 13 minutes is a long time. So you're saying passing it would have been a longer routine?
No. What you do is you say, okay, you have to bring in a pitcher, obviously. The guy got hurt. A reliever. And he's got 3 minutes to get ready. And if you want to bring in Odorizzi, use the rest of the time while your team is batting and so forth to get him stretched out, and then bring him in the next inning. I mean, using six pitchers in a game now is routine. It's not a big deal.
It's got to change for
too
sure.
Long. Too long.
And the
traditionalists are, oh, you can't do that. The game is timeless. It's hard to believe this, but at one time, baseball was more popular
than football.
Yeah.
That is hard to believe.
Well, you
look at the ratings, the World Series would get 32 shares.
No, this past week was the 50th anniversary of the first World Series night game. The audience was like 65 million people.
Back then?
Yeah.
Well, but when pro football wasn't even around, college football was all they had. Then pro football came in, and it took a little while after the merger to – past baseball, right? 70s or 80s?
Here's the line chart of World Series viewership by year.
Does that look like a positive trend, boys?
It's like my stock market portfolio in 2008. Hey.
Exactly. Back in 1979.
Yes.
Well, 78. Yeah, I mean, you're talking 40 million people.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, 78 million people.
You're also helped by the two biggest markets. You had the Dodgers and the Yankees playing that.
Okay, fine. Here, I'll scroll back to other non-sexy things. The bottom line
is
there were
the
World
Series. Sports and no other TV.
So. Well, look at the numbers. We're talking 30 shares across the board. And the good numbers persisted up until the early 90s.
Yeah.
So you're talking at least 20 million, 25 million if the teams are good, if the series goes long, 25 million, 32 million for a game 7, Twins Braves. That was a 91 series. That was an epic series.
That was an epic game too. That epic was Jack, game as Jack well. Morris going 10 innings.
Right. Yeah. 32.2 share, 49 million viewers.
How many watch now? Like
Let's scroll to right now. Okay. Let's go to the last pre-pandemic year. That would be Boston and LA, two huge markets. A 10 share for game 5. A 10 share. 18 million.
That's a good amount of people.
Not compared to 50. So in 91, game 7, Twins versus
Braves,
not two huge markets, 50 million. L.A. and Boston, 2 years ago, 18 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. Cable.
Internet. Yeah, it's watered down, but
Rob Manfred, call your office.
But the fact of the matter is, the games are too long. It's not a consumable product. You got to get this under 3 hours. Got
too damn long. Are you guys going to go to the spirit store, the Halloween spirit store right over here, which popped up in one of the empty stores? I think that was that used to be one of the office supply stores.
That was Office Depot.
Office Depot.
Well, the Halloween store used to be here between the mattress warehouse.
And they moved it over?
It used to be there for years. It would pop up there. In September and October.
Do you know how hard it is to get Halloween shit now because of supply chain stuff?
Really?
Yeah. There's a lot. I know Andy's like, who gives a fuck?
Well, my kids are too old now.
When was the last time you dressed up, Andy?
for Halloween?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I don't know. Maybe I was 8.
I was James Bond when the first movie came out, 1962.
It's probably about 13 or 14.
If I had a Halloween party and I paid for your costume...
Would you
come to it?
And no,
Would you let me choose your costume?
Actually, I did. There was some kind of a charity event that I went to a few years ago, and I went as Jay Gruden. So I put on. I had one of these inflatable headsets.
Did you go drunk?
Oh,
I'm the bay now.
Inflatable headset.
That's a good one, Zay.
And I had now a politically incorrect Redskin shirt that I wore. And
mine right there, baby.
And when's the last time you dressed up in a costume?
Oh, boy, it's been a while. I can't really remember. I'm not against it per se, but it's a lot of work and effort. And you got to go to a party where everyone's dressed up,
right?
All right, boys. Good to see you this morning. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
What's on deck for today? Football?
Football.
More football.
Washington football team.
And you're going to enjoy that Sean Taylor ceremony.
They show it. I don't know if they'll show
they're
it.
They're going to show it. They're going to stream it on Redskins.com.
Oh, I'll see it
halftime. Then. So.
Okay. There you go. Yeah. It's WashingtonFootballTeam.com.
Thank you. Sorry. WashingtonFootballTeam.com.
Redskins.com redirects to Zabe.com now, I believe.
Exactly. All right, Solly, do you want to throw your line out there to anyone who wants to hire you? Stay in radio? Get back in radio? Let's go.
I'm not really looking. You know, I won't turn down an offer if it's really good, but I don't really want to do anything else. So,
good.
You know, I'm fine with the
Keep
podcast.
Keep doing the podcast. Steve Solomon podcast on Patreon. The Lynn Solly Murray Experience on Patreon. You do Doc Walker's podcast as well.
Yep, all on Patreon right there at the links at the top of my Twitter feed.
You ever thought about doing a specialized podcast that is something that's near and dear to you, like online poker or something like that?
Yeah, I've thought about that, but... And I might still start another one or two because now I have the time.
Yeah,
you know they all make a little money, and there's I got like 10 or 12 guys who'll subscribe to anything I do, and that's a couple hundred bucks a month. So
there you go.
That's all nice.
Right. All right, buddy.
Thank you.
See you guys.
Winning season returns at mybookie.ag, and it's time to get in on the action. First-time players can get started by doubling your first deposit, giving you the firepower, pa-boom, to add excitement to the games you love. College football odds boosts, NFL lock of the week season, and over $500,000 in contest prizes live on-site to make winning this season your best ever with MyBookie. With a historic 18-week schedule offering more action than ever before, you need a sportsbook casino that's reliable, and you won't find a better place than MyBookie. I know you're going to bet this season, so do the smart thing and sign up with MyBookie and use our promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to get your first ever deposit matched dollar for dollar. That's extra money credited to your account instantly just for using promo code ZABE and making your first deposit today. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie, and when you win, get paid.